During my childhood years, I was raised understanding the concept of religion but not having a relationship with God. And I feel like this is super common in today's world, especially. Maybe you've experienced it. You know, you're young, maybe you have a childlike faith. And then as you get older, you don't strengthen that faith. So when you're placed around a group of unbelievers and in that environment, you leave your faith completely and you doubt any existence of God at all. Well, this is what happened with me. In 2021, I came back to God though. I started developing a relationship with him after I actually had a boyfriend at that time push me to believe in God. And before this happened, I had hit rock bottom. I was so insecure about my body, it was hard to leave the house. I was seeking validation from guys, and I was never happy, never satisfied. And really going down a dangerous path with how I viewed food and exercise. I was just searching for anything to help me. And thankfully, I found it. That being a relationship with Jesus. Now, I know it's really hard to grow a relationship with God in the society we have now that tells us we don't need anyone but ourselves. I hear this is a common thing, like, you know, people are hurt by so many of their close family or friends that they feel they can only rely on themselves and they have no one else. And this is really sad because, let's be real, most of us can't even get through the day without caffeine. So we still think we can do it all by ourselves though. You know, heal trauma, fix our problems, help others, and have the strength to do all of that. Yet we can't even make it a day without relying on this drug. It's basically a drug. Okay, and I do it too, but I don't rely on it anymore, bringing down like the amount I take. Anyway, we won't go into that now. That's another conversation. But we think we can have the strength to do that. But it's clear that we can't. Last year, I went through a breakup. And that's when I really started growing in my relationship with God because I realized I cannot heal from this by myself. Now, I mentioned 2021 was really when late 2020, I found God and I started focusing on him more, but I was still walking very much in the world during that time. But then in 2022, when that breakup happened, I was pushed towards God because I had nothing else to go to. I felt like the only person that I had to ever talk to and share my problems, you know, he was gone because I wasn't in that relationship anymore. But I'm so thankful for that because it pushed me towards God and it taught me so many things. And this year, while I've definitely had some bumps in the path, I think I'm the strongest in my relationship with God because of all those struggles, because of everything I've encountered. So I wanted to talk to you about 5 practical steps that you can apply in your life and that I've applied in my life so you can grow a closer relationship with God and ultimately find that true everlasting peace that, you know, I know we're all searching for. So number one is to understand the foundations of a relationship with God. What I mean by this is having a relationship over just focusing on religion. I went to an Episcopal church when I was younger, and I remember just not really listening in church, which, you know, is no one's fault but my own. Well, no, it's no one's fault but my own. I got bored easily, and young children do, you know. It's hard to sit and listen. But I remember going, and even when I was a bit older, hearing the same readings and similar messages and having those same rituals, while that has its importance, I was never really taught on having like a strong relationship with God. Maybe to a little degree, but it was still very much focused on religion. And when I say focused more on religion, I mean you go to church, you go to chapel, and then you think you're good. You know, you sit, you listen, you think there's like a whole bunch of rules and laws, and if you don't follow them, you think you're bad. And you think you get into heaven by doing good works. And reading the Bible is something you do maybe once a week at church on Sundays. And maybe you pray to God when you're like in a near-death situation and when you're desperate. But that's about it. You know, it's focused on religion and not a personal relationship with God. And this is why having a strong foundation is so important. Switching my view from focusing on just religion to focusing on growing that relationship with God has been a game changer. Now, speaking of religion, it was actually today where I came across a really good verse that I wanted to mention. So I was reading this book for this Bible study that I'm a part of. It's called Healing the Soul of a Woman by Joyce Meyer. I'm a few chapters in, but it's very good so far. And one of the verses she mentioned was Matthew 7:24-27, which is Jesus saying, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a man who builds a house on sand. When the rains and flood come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." And this is why having that strong foundation is important, just what Jesus said, to, you know, follow his word and to act it out in your life and to have that strong foundation is to be wise. But if you don't, well, you're going down a rocky path without God, because not saying that you're not going to encounter challenges when you're walking with God, you definitely are. But the thing is, you have God by your side, you have him to lean on, and you're able to get through it and come out on the other side stronger. So back to what I was saying, religion often involves organized practices, you know, rules, institutions, whereas a relationship with God emphasizes a more intimate and direct and personal connection. And speaking of those specific rules and laws, I think Christianity can have a negative connotation because people think like, oh, Christians don't have fun, you know, like they can't go out and participate in normal activities that, you know, the society does. In reality, these rules or, you know, are really a protection. When I think about it, you know, God's saying, telling us to not get drunk and act like fools is protecting us. When you don't have conscious control of what you're doing, you're going to make some dumb mistakes. Like, I've been there. You're going to mess up and you're going to regret it. And I know when I was in those days, I regretted a lot of things I did but I didn't have control over a lot of things. If you've ever been, you know, drinking, you know you lose a lot of control. And so if you think about different, you know, things God has said not to participate in, it's really to protect us. And I know what it's like to feel so disconnected from God, but to go to church every Sunday. And this is the issue with just focusing on religion. You think going to church once on Sundays is going to fill you up for the week. But think about it like this. You would starve if you only ate once a week, just like you'll starve if you only connect with God once a week. And church really isn't giving you that deep connection. I like going to church because I get more information on what God is telling me through the Bible, and it's a great community. But I need to grow my own personal relationship, or I'm going to feel disconnected. And so I say this only out of love. If you want to find that true peace, you need to evaluate your foundation. So ask yourself, do you have a heartfelt relationship with God? Or are you following what everyone else is doing? Or maybe you're more focused on, you know, just being a good person and doing good works instead of really growing that personal relationship with God. Just ask yourself that. What is your foundation right now? Now, hopefully, after hearing this, the next few days and weeks, you're able to notice if you do have that relationship with God. I definitely encourage you to make sure you know what your foundation is built upon. Okay, now, number two. This is reading your Bible daily. Last year, when I realized I needed to be in my Bible every day, was when everything really changed. And not because I was like, oh, I have to do this or I'm a bad person, or I'll like be guilty if I don't, but really because I needed to read the Bible. Like, if I don't read the Bible for a few days, things are not, they're not great. I start becoming maybe prideful, I start becoming jealous, and I forget to spend time with God and to connect with him. And I start going back to my old ways. So I got a question recently asking how I look for scripture in daily life. Like, is it random? Do you have a set time for it? And like I say with everything, if you don't make time for it, there's gonna be no time. Like, if you even have a few minutes in the morning and you don't tell yourself what you're gonna do beforehand, you're gonna go on your phone, you're gonna scroll, you're gonna, you know, be sitting on the toilet and end up scrolling and sitting there for like 20 minutes. Like, you've been there, right? We've all been there. Well, hopefully won't be there anymore. But this is exactly what would happen with me. So this is why I have to tell myself when I'm going to read the Bible. But I am pretty flexible in my approach because I feel like sometimes if I tell myself like, oh, you have to read the Bible at this time every single day, it kind of loses its like enjoyment and it feels more like a chore. Though I know it works for some people. So you really have to find what works best for you. Some people, you know, it's the best to have a set time every morning or every night to read the Bible. For me, with every day, I'll ask myself, okay, am I going to read the Bible in the morning or at night or both? Now, recently, what I've been doing is reading a chapter in the Bible in the morning just to like get me primed for the day. And then at night is when I'll really spend focused in like a longer study of God's word. And I like the night times because I can really relax. Now, of course, this depends on your schedule. So maybe your nights are really busy, but your mornings are really slow. So this is why I say it's really individualized, but I just wanted to tell you what I do. So at night, that's when I really focus on my longer studies in the Bible. And this is also when I do my praying, but we'll get to that later. Now, there's all different ways to structure your reading in the Bible. And I encourage you, if you haven't read the Bible before, you know, you're a new Christian, to start in the Gospels in the New Testament, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I think this was really great because it tells you like who Jesus was. I remember when I first got my Bible, I was like, I'm going to start in the Old Testament because, you know, you start a book, every book in chronological order. And everyone around me was like, no, don't start in the Old Testament. Like, if you've never really read the Bible, start in the New Testament. And I'm like, no, like, these people are crazy. I'm going to start in the Old Testament. So I started in the Old Testament and I started getting really confused and really lost. And I was like, I don't like this. And then I stopped reading the Bible because I didn't like it. So when I went to the New Testament finally and listened to other people, that's when I really was like, oh, wow, like this is who Jesus was. This is, he came to die for my sins and give me salvation. So that was really powerful. But recently what I've been doing, so last year I finished the New Testament and I just went straight through the books of the New Testament. But this year I started listening at the beginning of the year to this podcast called The Bible in a Year. I believe that's what it's called, but it's by Father Mike is his name. And I'm not personally Catholic, but I do enjoy his teachings, and I think they're very valuable. So while I may not agree on every single thing, I do agree on a lot with him. So I started listening to his episodes at the beginning of the year, and honestly, I kind of fell off of it because I don't really like listening to like someone speak while I'm trying to like read the Bible, or I don't know. Some people may love it. I might get back to it. But what I did was I took the plan that he was doing for the Bible in a year, and I'm doing it myself, but I'm doing the Old Testament in a year because I've already read the New Testament. But anyway, that's besides the point. I'm basically just doing that plan, and it's been working well for me. But this is why it's so important to individualize. You can even look online, like plans for the Bible in a year, or if you have the Bible app, I know there's different plans on there for like doing certain, you know, chapters each day and, you know, finishing the Bible in maybe even a few months. So there's all different plans out there. I would just really encourage you to go look up online. That's the great thing about online. Well, something that's good. There's not a lot of great things, but that is something that's great. It's all at our hands. So you can really find some great resources. Now, another thing I wanted to mention is Bible study books, because I know sometimes it can be really overwhelming to just open up that Bible and start reading and like have no clue where to even, you know, start. And Bible study books, of course, great to do with people, but if you don't have, you know, maybe a community and you want to just get started on your own, I would definitely recommend getting a Bible study book. If you need some recommendations, DM me on Instagram. I'll send you some that I've really enjoyed. But that's really a good thing. If you don't know where to start, I would just encourage you to do that. And now, different translations of the Bible, I won't really get into that much because I'm not going to talk your ear off. But I personally have a commentary Bible from Lifeway, and it's the NLT translation, and I do enjoy that. But anyway, let's go on to number three, which is praying daily. Now, when I mean praying daily, I mean, well, praying daily. It's pretty self-explanatory. Praying is something that I used to have no clue where to start. Like, honestly, I was so awkward. Like, I was just, it was awkward. But now it's something I find so much peace in. I'm one of those people that starts praying and then all of a sudden my mind shifts to like what I'm going to do tomorrow or what I'm going to do next week. And it's so hard to focus. So what I usually do is I will write out my prayers. Now in the morning, I like to like journal like a quick prayer and I'll say it out loud. But at night is when I have my deep prayers with God. Now at night is like my non-negotiable. Like, even if I miss the morning and don't spend a lot of time reading the Bible, at night is when I'm going to spend time with God. So my praying, typically I'll do like a 20-minute prayer, but I sing it. And this might sound kind of odd. You're like, okay, you sing a prayer? How like do you do that? Yes, I sing a prayer. I make up words as I go along and I ask God for what I need. I thank Him for, you know, what I have, and I ask Him for His will to be done, and I sing it while playing some simple chords on the piano, and that's pretty much how it goes. And I love doing this because it keeps me in the zone. If you have an issue with focusing, if you've tried music, you know music can really help you, like, you know, keep that momentum going, because it's really hard while I'm singing and playing the piano and doing these things to get distracted. Like, it's very hard to get distracted while I'm doing all of that. So that's why I love singing my prayers. It's like a worship form of singing. Now, I typically pray alone, and I used to get always so uncomfortable around praying in front of other people. I've led a Bible study group, so I've had to pray there, but still, it's quite awkward for me personally. But recently, it was like last week, I was singing my prayers, you know, like usual at night. And all of a sudden, I heard the word Matthew come out of my mouth. And I was like, wait a minute, God, do you want me to open the book Matthew? So I go open the Bible, go to the book Matthew, and I'm like, God, where do you want me to go? I landed on Matthew 18. And I was reading through it, didn't think much of it. And I was like, oh, okay, like that's cool. Then the next morning, I was talking with a friend and I realized I had like this kind of image pop into my head when I was praying the day before. I was praying in the morning, so this was separate from my singing prayer. But when I was praying in the morning, I had like this kind of image pop into my head, and I thought it was just a distraction, but the image was of me praying with a friend, which is odd because I don't like praying with people. We've established this. But everything clicked. And I was like, wait a minute. I remember reading the verse Matthew 18, 19 through 20. And this verse says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And oh my gosh, this was so powerful. So like I said, when I was reading this at night, Matthew 18, I didn't realize this verse. But the next morning when I was talking with a friend, I was like, oh my gosh, I read this verse last night and it's just coming to mind now. And then I also remember I had this image and this prayer that I was also praying that day. And it was of me praying with a friend. Anyway, this is all crazy. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So these connected, and I realized that I really have to pray with other people. So I actually prayed with my friend. I just went to this prayer group today, and I'm really realizing the power of prayer with other people. And this is just really powerful. This is also really cool because I have been praying for God to give me discernment on a certain decision that I've wanted to make. And I feel like him giving me these signs to tell me to pray with other people is him telling me like how I get this discernment, and that I can't just do it on my own. I can't just pray on my own. I have to be in a community. So I think that was really powerful. Now, praying daily in between your days. I know the longer prayers I reserve for at night, but during the day, you know, if I come across some challenges, I'm going to say a little prayer in my head. You know, if I'm in public or something, I'm going to ask God to give me strength. And just kind of having that like connection throughout the day is really helpful. I remember reading this quote. I don't remember where it's from, but it was from a Bible study book, basically saying, talk to God about your problems more than you talk to other people about them. And I think that's just so powerful, because a lot of times we can, you know, pull out our phone and just rant to someone about, you know, someone who cut us off in traffic, and we're really annoyed and we're like ranting, or we're, you know, sharing all this drama with our friend, when really we just need to take a second and like give it to God and just, you know, pray. So that's what I try to keep in my head. Talk to God about it more than you talk to other people about it. And of course, community is important too, but we need to go to God for a lot of things. Number three, since we're talking about other people, number three is finding community and fellowship. Oh, wait, sorry. This is number four. Why did I say number three? This is number four. Finding community and fellowship. So last year, I had it on my heart that I needed to start a Bible study group. So I started it with my friends, and it was honestly amazing having that community and that, you know, designated time to talk about God, because you can maybe have some, you know, Christian friends, but then you never really talk about God. But if you have that designated time during a Bible group, it's really helpful. Now, it's been really hard this year, I will say, to get people together and like organize that group. And my schedule has just been so busy, so I hadn't been as diligent about that. But these past few months, I was invited to a Bible group, and I did like a Bible study with my friend, and I just really realized the importance of having that community and that fellowship. And I know even churches have some groups, so if you get a part of a church, you can, you know, join a Bible study group. Even getting a Bible study book, I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, getting a Bible study book and following it on your own. Of course, community and fellowship, super important, but if you don't have that at the moment, just get a Bible study book and start going through it on your own. But super important, make sure you're prioritizing community and fellowship with other people. I know it's not easy to find Christian friends these days, and I've struggled, but it does get better. You can find people. It's not hopeless. If I did it, so can you. Now, number five, once you're, you know, doing all of these steps, something might happen along the way, which is spiritual challenges and doubts. Now, in this society today, like, oh my gosh, it's kind of hard to stay rooted in your faith. And this is why it's so important to consistently do all of these steps that I've been talking about. So consistently pray, consistently get in the Word, consistently have people around you who can be mentors and, you know, guide you. Oh, which is another thing, having mentors. Super important. I forgot to mention that in the last point. But anyway, so as far as overcoming challenges and doubts, I started studying apologetics, which has been really helpful in having me understand why I believe what I believe. Not just blindly following this, but having like proof for what I believe. And this has been really powerful, because then when other people who, you know, don't have this love for God or don't understand yet or who are misguided, when they come along and try to throw stuff at you, you're strong in your faith because you know why you believe what you believe. And now it's Peter 3:15 that says, "But in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you." And I remember hearing this verse, and when I first heard it, I was like, wow, I need to understand this so I can share to other people why I believe what I believe. And through learning about apologetics, I've grown stronger in my faith. And there are a few books that I have looked at. There's off the top of my head, Case for Christ is very good. There's some excellent resources out there that can really help you like stay strong in your faith when doubt starts to come your way. I know during my breakup, I really struggled with doubt. And, you know, I was walking with the world more than with God at that time because I had just gone through this hard thing. And it seems like, you know, why would God want me to go through this? But by reading apologetics books, I realized that, well, number one, we have free will. And number two, God sometimes allows us to go through these struggles that, you know, Satan may put in our path because he is going to use it for good. And God did use it for good. I am so thankful for the breakup I went through because it made me so much stronger in so many aspects of my life. And so I look back at that hard time when I wanted to get out of it and was, you know, doubting God. And I look back and I'm like, wow, I'm so thankful for that. So this is why it's just so important to, you know, make sure you can overcome that doubt. But with all of this said, I really hope that this gave you some more insight. Maybe you're a new believer or you've been a part of a church but not really closely connected with God. Or, you know, maybe you're doing good right now and, you know, you just wanted to hear some insight on how I structure my growing my relationship with God. So I just wanted to leave you with one last thing, just to remind you for the week, which is a quote that I heard from this Bible study book I was reading earlier by Joyce Meyer. She said, "Christianity is not merely belonging to a church and trying to be a good person, but it's about Jesus and what he's done for us. He offers us himself as a sacrifice and payment for our sins and guilt. And when we receive him, he actually comes by his spirit to live, dwell, and make his home in us." So basically, this is saying, if you make mistakes like we're going to do, that is okay because God has already forgiven you. Of course, we shouldn't live in sin because we're just doing a disservice to ourselves. But this is why it's so important to continuously grow that strong relationship with God. And so I hope that's exactly what you get out of this. It's not an easy journey, but it's a very worthwhile journey. I know I'm so grateful. This is the best decision I've ever made, was to start a relationship with God. And I'm very thankful for the people in my life who have pushed me to do that and who have guided me along the way. But I thank you so much for listening. And if you do want to hear more, make sure to follow the podcast, leave a rating, and give me your thoughts. And if you don't already, follow me on Instagram at adriana.orfrano. You can also DM me, ask me any questions, share your thoughts, and I'd be happy to connect with you. But I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. And remember to put God first in your life, and you'll see the glory in everything. Because that's when we can really create a life that we love.